there tonight, but I hope that none of us are going to the presence of the Lord empty-handed, that we bring people with us. Paul called them the fruit of his labor. I've got something tonight that I want to read. I don't normally spend this much time, but I want us we're fixing to take a trip to the ark, and I've been praying, Lord, I'd like to preach on the ark if you'll let me, and he's going to let me a little bit tonight. But I want to talk about building an ark. Everybody needs to build an ark. Build an ark for your family, for those around you. The ark was an ark of safety. It was an ark of grace, an ark of mercy. And we have no idea what Noah was going through. No idea how that when he preached the righteousness, Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And in that time, building the boat all the time, and then going out and preaching and living his life. What a man of God, and what an example that he had in that time. But this here is reimagined it to the day. We don't know the problems he had, but here are some problems that if he was building a boat today, that he might have. And it's kind of funny, but it gets you to thinking. So here's a story of Noah retold, and the typical excuses that Noah may have mentioned to Christ as he talked with him. So the Lord speaks to Noah and says, I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all is destroyed. But I want you to save the righteous people and two of every kind living thing on the earth. Therefore, I am commanding you to build an ark. Well, in a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for an ark. Then Noah, fearful and trembling, took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in time. Years later, the Lord saw Noah sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, where is the ark? And Noah said, Lord, please forgive me. I did my best, but there were big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction, and your plans did not comply with the codes. I had to hire an engineering firm and redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a fire sprinkler system and flotation devices. Lord, I'm still trying to imagine how the elephants are going to fit in, and the dinosaurs? I just give up on that. My neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard, so I had to get a variance from City Planning Commission. I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owl. I had this terrible dream of what would happen once the woodpeckers came aboard anyway. When I started rounding up the other animals, I got sued by an animal rights group, and they objected to me only taking two of each kind aboard. Just when I got that suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They said that much water could promote mold growth. The Lord said, see, this is why I'm destroying the earth, Noah. Noah continued. Then the Army Corps of Engineers, demanding a map of the proposed new floodplain, I sent them a globe. Right now, I'm trying to resolve a complaint filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that I am practicing discrimination by not taking godless, unbelieving people aboard. And the IRS has seized all my assets, claiming I'm building the ark in preparation to flee the country to avoid paying taxes. And I just got a notice from the state that I owe some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. Finally, the ACU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying since God is flooding the earth, it is a religious event and therefore unconstitutional. Lord, I don't really think I can finish the ark for another 5 or 6 years. Just then the sky began to clear, the sun began to shine, and the seas began to calm. A rainbow arched across the sky. Noah looked up hopefully. You mean, Lord, you're not going to destroy the earth? No, the Lord said, Sally, the government already has. That'd be real funny if it didn't hurt so bad. I want you to get your mind on building your ark. Every child of God, no matter what your age is, you need to build your ark. We're not going to talk much about the ark tonight. We're just going to talk a little bit about Noah and him building his ark to the saving of his family. Have you done that? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you go with us now, and as we look in the scripture in just a moment, God, you would anoint this time, this place, these people. Help us, dear God, to be consistent with our Christian life. Help us to be bold in our witness. Help us, dear God, to let those following to know that there was somebody that knew God and loved God and followed God that went before them. Father, we pray that you would guide us in building our ark to the saving of our family, of building our ark to leaving the legacy to those who are around us. Help us, dear God, in this simple message to understand our task today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you would, please stand and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 6 in just a moment. Put your finger there. Turn over to chapter 7. We'll be turning back to chapter 6. In chapter 7, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You may be seated. Now, people in Noah's day, they were in trouble. God had decreed that destruction was about to come upon them, and that he would save one man because of God's grace, not because of Noah's goodness. But God saw in Noah somebody that had faith in him, somebody that trusted him of all the people of the earth, and God gave him grace. Noah, in Hebrews 11, 7, tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he tells us by faith, God saved him. And that is the way that God does today. By faith, he saves us and gives us something that's real. Now, God saw how great and corrupt the earth was, and he was going to send a flood to do that. And Noah lives in a similar time such as us, a wicked time. These people were wicked in their thoughts. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 said, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. They were wicked in their thoughts. Compare that to today. Compare that to the people that we're around, the things that we see and the way that the earth is going today. All over, not just a part of it, but all over. They were wicked in their thoughts, but they were also wicked in their moral decisions. The Bible said in verse 11 and 12, in which we read 12, but it says this, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. My goodness. That word corrupt, it means in the Greek, the same way that corrupt means, it means ruined. They had ruined themselves with God. They were fully corrupt. They deserved death. They deserved punishment. God was not being unkind to these people. He was giving the just reward of them turning to that corrupt, evil way of their moral thoughts, their moral decisions that they had. It shasheth is the word that is used, and it speaks and is spoken of as rotten fruit. When you see a piece of fruit, it's rotten. You don't want to eat it. You throw it away, and that's all it was worth. And God said, these people are corrupt. They're ruined. Jeremiah used it in his day when the vessel that he was making on the potter's wheel, it fell apart. It was no good to the master. And he is saying to these people that they will not return, they will not give their heart to me, and they're corrupt toward me. So here we find that the weakness of Noah's day, the weakness in their thoughts, the weakness in their moral decisions, and we read it today, the same thing, in our day and time, it's the same thing. People are calling good good, bad and bad good. They're saying that what is really nice, what is righteous is evil. My goodness, darkness is day and day is darkness. I mean, that's the way that we live and we see it every day in our life. We used to be a good country. We used to be a godly nation, but no longer are we such a nation. The French statement, he quoted this. He said, America is strong because America is good. When America ceases to be good, they will cease to be strong. God said this, that judgment will follow the wicked. And that is the day that we live. Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And the Bible said he did. The Bible tells us that waters came from above the earth and came from underneath or in the earth as the waters and the land was broken up and the waters was there. We understand that there was a vapor, there was a canopy of vapor that was about the earth that was like a greenhouse and it created that effect that it held the waters in and a mist would rise from the earth, the Bible said in those days, and it would water the earth. And that mist would create a water canopy that during the day the water would come down. It wasn't called rain. It wasn't rain, but there was a mist that was there. Noah had never seen rain. He was 500 miles from any big places of water. And in that day and time, there was one continent. It's called Pangaea, and there was one continent. Get your globe, and you can get pictures now of all of the land masses together, and you can see how that it once was. What we see today can be fit together perfectly into one continent. And that's the way it was before this flood took place. And it broke up this one continent, Pangaea, into several continents. And we find that God not only sent the water from above, but he sent the water from underneath as all of the continental plates shifted and everything buckled up. And we see the mountains today. When God created the earth, he didn't create mountains. But the flood created the mountains and came together. And we see all of that and we understand all of that about this great corruption that was there. What is God's answer to these times? Because we live in them. Every one of us know that. Well, the Bible says there was a man and a woman. We read about Noah because in those times they didn't talk about the women, but there was a Miss Noah that was with Noah and backed him and loved him and helped him build the ark. I'm sure she was out there, just as some of you would have been. And there was a man here that God said, I want you to understand, he came from a good lineage. He was perfect in his generations. And that can mean two things. It can mean that Methuselah and Lamech and all of those that followed him, Enoch was a great grandfather, and all of those lived a long time, and they were alive when Noah was born and Noah lived. And the Bible tells you and I that they were godly men, and they were godly examples, and they were godly people that left a legacy for Noah to follow. So his generations before him were perfect in their sight. But that also means and has a secondary meaning that Noah was righteous in his own self. He was a good man. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do, unlike all of the other world that was around him. And when all the world was going downstream following the crowd, Noah chose not to. He chose to be different. And I thank God for the young people and older people that you've chosen to not listen to the world, to society, to those around you, to your own age, and you've set your own standard. You're swimming upstream, but you're doing it for God. And I praise God for you. Can you say praise the Lord for these young people, for the older people, for those that are serving the Lord Jesus? And Noah was the same thing. He had a legacy that had pushed him and pursued him in life. He knew his family was a godly family, and he wanted to do that. He wanted to live righteous before God. And God blessed him. And God saved his family because of what he is. And so God's answer to the wicked times, it's the same today. He needs a man or a woman, a boy or a girl to stand up and stand out and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to build an ark around me to the saving of my family, to the saving of those that was hard. Now, grace, the Bible says, was from God. And grace was put upon Noah because God saw his heart, saw his desire. And the Bible says that God gave him grace. We all need grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Noah didn't deserve to be saved and all the rest of them destroyed. Neither did you. But God gave you that ability to be saved. And there's three things that we need to understand about him. Number one, he was forgiven. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews 11:7, that he trusted in what God says. He had faith that God would do what he said. And he, in fear and in faith, built an ark to the saving of his house. I commend him for that. What a man. None like anyone around him. What if you were the only one in church today? We're getting to be that way. But what if you were the only one? That's Noah. What if you were the only one in your city that was living righteous for God? Nobody else did. You'd feel kind of alone. And Noah did. Some of you young people know what it is to be the only person maybe in your class that really know the Lord, that really you're showing the world that you're saved. And you're running against the envelope, against everything that is there. That's Noah. He chose to be different. He chose to be like God. He chose to live righteous and godly. And the Bible said he was forgiven. He was forgiven. Now, he was found in righteousness. He was found in grace because of his faith. He didn't deserve it. He was given that. And so are we. But he was also faithful. The Bible said he became a just man. He was justified before God, that he had a preacher of righteousness, and the Bible said that he was faithful to do what God called him to do. And like what I just read, I don't think Noah had a lot of excuses. I think that he followed the will of God. That's the way God portrays him in his book, and I think he did. I know there was times of discouragement. I know there was times that he felt alone, that it was useless. But I thank God that he continued and he finished the work that God had for him. The Bible said in 1 John 2:3, it says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. His commandments is simply what he said for us to do. And he told Noah to do this, this, and this. And Noah did it, I think, to the best of his ability. And the Bible said that he saved his house. He in fear served the Lord, and he saved his house. Not only was he forgiven and faithful, but he was fruitful. Fruitful. My goodness. If we get our family in, our children, all of those connected with them in the house of God, saved, I should say, haven't we been fruitful in what we have done? You know, and I know we need to reach out to others, and we don't need to be like the person that said, me, mine, and that's enough. No, it's not. We need to reach those who don't have someone that's lost. We need to seek and to save all that are lost. Need to be about the Father's business. As the song said tonight, we need to go out and be a light to those people that are out of the will of God. We need to do that. But Noah was faithful. For 120 years, he was faithful. We're not even going to live that long. But Noah was faithful all of his life. After he came to the knowledge of the Lord and who he was serving, God used him, and he had the ability to be used. And I ask you tonight, what has God called you to do? As a child of God, you're saved. God has blessed you and forgiven you. What is your calling, your gifting, the unction of the Spirit on your life? Be faithful to it. Be faithful to it. Don't let nothing drive you from it. You'll be glad that you did, or you'll be sorry that you didn't. I've seen so many at elder age. They've been in church, but many of them have told me, Brother Rudy, I felt a calling to preach, but I wouldn't do it. And I was miserable my whole life. Brother Rudy, I felt a calling to do this or that or the other. And I only done it halfway. I didn't fully give myself to God. And I sure wished I had now. Never heard anybody say, I wished I'd worked more. I wish that I had even traveled more, even had more fun. I've heard them say many times, I wished I'd served God. Many that were lost that I wished they had come to the Lord at old age. I wished I'd served the Lord. I wished I had been saved. And they would, some of them would give their hearts to the Lord, and they would weep because they had no legacy to leave their children, their grandchildren. And as children of God, we need to not only be faithful to the things of God, but we need to be fruitful. And I think those go hand in hand. I think as we're faithful to do God's will, that God forgives the past, He blesses the present and the future, and He will allow us to win our people to God. I believe that with all my heart. And God has called us to do that. Now, He had this attraction. He could have went the same way everybody else did, but His greater love, His greater attraction was found in God. I ask that yours be the same. Find out about God. Know more about Him. Get as close to Him as you can and ask God to bless you and strengthen you and do those things. We need to understand that God will do it and He'll bless us. So we talked a little bit about Noah and the character that he had and the steps that he chose to do what God would have him to do, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his fruitfulness that he had. But as children of God, we need to understand, how do we pass on this godly heritage? Well, the Bible tells us, we've already talked a little bit about it, but God says that you need to be saved. He said you need to be faithful, you need to be fruitful, but you need to be asking God to help you in some things in your life. Hebrews 11:7 talks about that. Talks about how God moved Noah in fear. That God said Noah was afraid not to serve me. A lot of times we simply speak of fear only as reverence to God. It is that and all of that, but it's more. There is a fear of hell. There's a fear of missing the place of God, of not being able to reach those around you, a fear of them going to hell themselves, our family, that kept Noah on the job. And as we read into that and we think through Noah's life, we see that the fear of what was out there and the fear of his children not serving the Lord and those around him kept him working in the things of God. And I say that to some older people today, or maybe even some younger people, that you're backing up and you're wondering, you're coming to the age and you're looking out and you're saying, man, there's a lot of stuff out there and I want to try this stuff. Well, will this stuff draw you closer to God or further away from God? Is this stuff good for you or bad for you? Look to the Bible. You can find the answer. God knows what you're saying. But it's the same thing for us older people. I'm still tempted just like you are. And the brother said, my class knows and they can tell you, but I even mentioned it today, the struggles I have as a child of God. I'm no different than you. There's times I face people that, buddy, it's hard for me to witness. There's been times that I've walked away and been times that I've said, Lord, forgive me, and walked back. Because there's times that it's just hard. There's times there's no openings, seemingly. And you just have to ask. You just have to make that opening, and that's hard. It's hard because we have too much pride. Now, honestly, can you say amen? Yeah, we don't want nobody to turn us away. We don't want no one to be mad at us. We don't want no one to think less of us, and we think that they will if they think that we're a so-called Christian. See, it's going against everything that the world teaches to be a child of God. It's not easy. My goodness, wimps don't become Christians. Can you say amen? Amen. You show me somebody strong, you show me somebody serving the Lord, and I say, there's a strong man, there's a strong woman. There's somebody that doesn't care about what people think, that they're putting their own path, they're plotting their own pace. It's not determined by what other people do. They're not a follower, they're a leader. And that is what God wants in our lives. That's what Moses was, and that's how he saved his family. Number one, Noah had an ear for God. He had an ear for God. He listened to what God says. How do we set a legacy for our family? We listen to God. We listen to His Word. We listen to the counsel of Christian people. We seek it out, and we try to find it. And we listen to the blessed Holy Spirit that's indwelt each believer. We're sensitive to what He wants and how He leads. And I told you before, as a young Christian, I served the Lord. I did the best I knew how. But I thought that I just planned my life and God worked His way into it. It's not the way it is. As I grew older in the Lord, instead of the Holy Spirit following me, I understood I needed to follow the Lord. I needed to see what He wanted in my life, how He wanted me to act and react to things. And I found that in the Word, and I found that by watching you, by watching other Christians, how they acted and reacted. And in my spirit, I knew if what they did was right or what they did was wrong. And I tried myself to do what was right. Not always did I. We all fail. We all sin. The Bible said Jesus said one place, let him without sin cast the first stone. Nobody cast the stone. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all gone out of the way. And John himself said in little John, he said, if you say you have no sin, putting himself there, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're never going to live a life sinless. You can't. You're not. But you can try. And I think the child of God wants to. We have that desire. We're not perfect, but we want to be perfect unto God, fit for the master's use. So Noah had an ear for God. Spiritual hearing comes from spiritual listening through the Word of God, through those who know the Word of God and know the God of the Word. It comes through that. And the Bible's not something that's sweet. It may be sweet a little bit. And the Bible said, what was it? One of the writers said, it was sweet to my mouth, but boy, when I swallowed the Word, it was bitter. And the Word of God is bitter that way. Oh, sometimes it's bitter when you lose a friend. It's bitter when you want to do something and you find out that it casts a darkness on your testimony and you can't do it. You have to walk away, and that's hard. Of course, you can just be like the world. You can dress like the world, talk like the world, be like the world if you want to. You're never going to be a light for the Lord. You're never going to leave a legacy. You're never going to be where God wants you to be. The Bible says here that Noah had an ear for God, but also it says that Noah's fear moved him. Fear is a good thing. Because I feared my daddy a little bit. I didn't do a lot of stuff that I would have done. And whooping was pretty bad. And I didn't simply reverence him. I had a little fear about that belt. I don't know about you, but I did. And I didn't like it. And you didn't have to do it very often. Listen. We have a fear of fire, and when we have a fear of fire, we put smoke detectors in our home. That's not wrong. You're afraid your house may burn down without it. Your children may burn. So we put smoke detectors in our home. We're careful to clean out the lint in the dryer, or some of us, we ought to be. I didn't. Mine tore up, and I cleaned it out and fixed it. But anyway, we ought to be careful because of the fear of fire. What about the fear of hellfire? What about the fear of those in our families and those that are friends, those that we've worked around for months and years on end that don't know the Lord? See, we need to have a fear. Fear is good. It's not something that's detrimental. It's not something that pulls us back. It's not something that pulls us down. It lifts us to higher heights. Because I feared my dad, I stayed away from sin a whole lot. Because I feared God, I wanted to serve Him, and I was faithful to church, faithful to read the Word of God, faithful to do those things. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. My goodness. My goodness. Year by year, he stayed faithful. 120 years. That's a long time. I just found out this week, I just found out that two people that had great faith in, confidence in, preached the gospel, good friends of mine, they backslid on the Lord, quit preaching, out of church, never would have thought it. See, God doesn't want you to be red hot one year, one day, and then leave. He wants you to be consistent. That's how you build a legacy. That's how that you live right. I've told you often, my dad, over and over, thousands of times, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, Rudy. To have a good name, you're going to have to do right. And he would talk to me about that. And my goodness, his legacy followed me for years. And a lot of people he knows knew now is dead, but my goodness, it boosted me and helped me. And I'm sure Methuselah helped Noah, being his grandfather. I think that it did. The Bible says Methuselah, the name Methuselah simply means when he dies, the end comes. And it did. It did. And it took 969 years. Lamech, his dad, lived to be over 700 years. Noah lived to be a great age because they did in that day when the canopy was still over the earth and the rays and everything could not get through and kill us, really. By the way, I'll put a note in here. For those of you that lay out in the sun and those of you that work out in the sun, you better be careful now. I used to think I'm dark-complected. My great-grandmother was a full Cherokee Indian and all of that, and I'll be all right. But I met a guy the other day who's dark as I am or darker, and he's going my age, going and getting stuff cut off of him here and there. It doesn't matter how dark you are, how light you are, you better be careful. The ozone and all of that. See, we live in a fallen world, and this world is coming apart at the seams. If you ever live for the Lord, you need to now. Noah did, and he had an ear for God, and Noah's fear moved him. But the third thing that I love is Noah's family followed him. Lot's didn't. Lot's didn't at all. But Noah's family followed him in the faith. They trusted that he knew God. And boy, that has talked to me. The Bible says in the book, when it talks about Noah, it says that not only his family, but all of creation followed him. They did, didn't they? The two animals, because God said two and Noah did what was right, they came into the ark, two by two by two. And even the dinosaurs, I think, went in there. We'll talk about that later sometime maybe. But we need to understand that God has a legacy that he wants us to have. I love what John said, 3 John 1:4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I love my grandchildren that are here tonight, and I see good things out of them. And Samantha, although she's got a friend now, which I hate. But anyway, no, I'm sorry. No. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. And many others that are not able to be here tonight, not here tonight. I love you. Proud of you. My goodness, proud of you. Because you're stand for Christ. I think of the older people. Brother Bud, I've known him all my life. Not known him personally until 7 years, but I knew his dad. His dad cut my hair with dull scissors. I remember that. And that's why I'm probably halfway like I am now. He did. He pulled it out. I ain't never told you about that, bud. But he did now. And boy, I was glad when he was through that. But all these people, they've set an example for us. And we need to set the example for those behind. It's your day now. You know that? How do you prepare an ark for your family? You have an ear for God. You let the fear of hell and the fear of losing your family and your fear of them not accepting Christ for eternal life move you. Move you. And then Noah's family followed him. He had that legacy. He was real around them. And that's what we need to do. Can we pray tonight? Father, we come to you in Jesus' precious name, right where we are. Help us to leave a legacy that, and such that Noah left. He understood the wickedness of the day. He understood he had to make direct, hard decisions for his life. And God, he had a work that you had called him to do, that he must do it. And Lord, you forgave him. Because of that, he was faithful, and he, with your blessing, became fruitful. And the Bible says that he led his children and their wives into the ark that night. And dear God, as you brought out, he's a preacher of righteousness, he's preached to others. I believe others could have walked into that ark, but they chose not to. And God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to set the same example that Noah set for our family, that we have an ear to God, that our fear is moved toward God, that we walk with him, with a witness of our family, and we'll win our family to God. We ask that you help us to do that by staying in your word, staying close and faithful to the house of God, and dear God, by keeping short accounts with you, and we'll give you praise. As your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, God has given you an invitation tonight to manifest his grace to you, to reveal it to you. It's free. Has nothing to do with what you can or can't do. Whoever, the Bible says, calls upon the name of the Lord should be saved. That word is delivered. Delivered from your weakness, delivered from your hurt, delivered from your fear. Tonight, if you're here, ask the Lord to do something great in your life, to forgive you. As mom and dad, as those that have others following you, for you to be a light to them, a legacy that you will make the right decisions and take the right path, that you might build an ark for your family, that you might follow on to know God, as the Bible says. Father, we pray that in the precious name of Jesus. Have your way in our heart, our life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Be much in prayer for God. And remember, I love stuff like this because